This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines, and we begin in Moscow, where it appears that radical Muslim terrorists have struck again. Two different blasts striking during rush hour on the Moscow subway system, killing at least 38 people, dozens more injured and hospitalized, so the death toll could in fact go higher. Right now, no one claiming responsibility, and investigations are ongoing. But most experts believe it is Muslim Chechenian separatists who are still upset with Russian domination over their region. And some say it could be the work of two women, part of a group that is extremely upset at the Russian government for engaging in military conflict that has claimed the lives of their husbands, fathers, and brothers. Russia not declaring who is responsible for this, but promising to destroy whoever it was. For analysis of this tragedy in Moscow, please check out my interview with retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. General McInerney says he expects an extremely harsh response from the Russian government against whoever's responsible, and General McInerney believes it is radical Muslims from the Chechnya area. He also says he hopes that Russia, as a result of this tragedy, will realize the threat that radical Islam poses around the world and will play a much more active role in trying to stop Iran from gaining possession of nuclear weapons. Elsewhere in the war on radical Islam, President Obama, of course, over the weekend, encouraging troops in Afghanistan and meeting with Afghan President Hamid Karzai as the U.S. troops continue a major offensive against the Taliban there and prepare for what may be a major battle in the Kandahar region in the days to come. During his visit with the troops, the president thanked them for their service and said the United States government will give them everything they need to complete the mission.
I will never send you into harm's way unless it's absolutely necessary. When it is absolutely necessary, you will be backed up by a clear mission and the right strategy, and you will have the support to finish the job, to get the job done. And I'm confident all of you are going to get the job done right here in Afghanistan.
The president now back in Washington after that surprise visit, and he's coming back, of course, to a number of political spats, to say the least. First of all, the ongoing debate over what's really in the health care bill that passed about a week ago now and what effect it'll have on businesses as well as the freedom many Americans currently enjoy. Also on the controversy plate, recess appointments. Now that Congress is off on its Easter recess, the president for the first time has used the recess appointment power granted to him in the Constitution and allowed 15 people to fill out different positions in the government until the end of this congressional session. One of those names on there is Craig Becker, who the Senate has filibustered before, including right after Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown was sworn in earlier this year. According to Republicans, they say this is just another partisan swipe and an end around on the constitutional prerogatives that lawmakers have to approve or reject the president's nominees. Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander.
What the president has done here is throw fuel on the fire at a time when the debate about politics is a very angry debate to begin with.
South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint says this is just a continuation of a pattern.
All we had asked for is some debate and a vote on this nominee. He decided to circumvent Congress again, which has become his style on so many issues, and just appoint him while we were out of town.
One name surprisingly not included is the president's choice to head the Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department, Don Johnson, another very controversial figure. And as we learned today, the president is now 0-for-2 on directors for the Transportation Security Administration. That's because Friday night, retired Major General Robert Harding withdrew his nomination, saying, quote, "It is with deep regret that I submit my withdrawal for nomination as the Assistant Secretary of DHS, Transportation Security Administration." He says, quote, "I feel that the distractions caused by my work as a defense contractor would not be good for this administration nor for the Department of Homeland Security," end quote. Several different questions had surrounded different government contracts awarded to Harding's firm. Some of them, costing tens of millions of dollars, were awarded to him on the result of him being a disabled veteran. But many were upset that the fact that his disability was based on sleep apnea rather than anything suffered during the line of duty. In other news, 9 people federal prosecutors say belong to a Christian Warrior militia were accused in federal court Monday of plotting to kill a Michigan law enforcement officer and then attack other police at that funeral. A grand jury in Detroit indicted 6 people from Michigan, 2 from Ohio, and 1 from Indiana on charges of seditious conspiracy, attempted use of weapons of mass destruction, teaching the use of explosive materials, and possessing a firearm during a crime of violence. The suspects were arraigned today. According to the indictment, the group known as Houthari, their members view local, state, and federal law enforcement authorities as the enemy and have been preparing to engage them in armed conflict. The indictment alleges that the group planned to kill an unidentified law enforcement officer in Michigan and then attack officers who would attend his funeral. Former First Lady Barbara Bush is likely to stay at a Houston hospital at least one more day as doctors try to figure out why she isn't feeling well. She's undergone a battery of tests, and so far, no concrete answers. The former president, George H.W. Bush, drove his wife to the hospital over the weekend after she'd been feeling ill for about a week. According to a Bush spokesperson, Mrs. Bush is not in any rush to get out of the hospital until doctors have tried to figure out what's wrong with her. They do say it's not a life-threatening situation. So who's telling the truth about taxes inside the new health care bill? Well, that's a major debate going on right now between members of the Obama administration as well as corporate leaders. Valerie Jarrett, one of the president's chief advisors, says when everything shakes out, companies will actually catch a break. But the likes of Caterpillar, John Deere, AT&T, and many others have said that the new law that reduces the tax exemption for covering retirees' prescription drugs will cost them tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. So who's right? Well, check out my interview with Peter Sepp, Vice President of Communications for the National Taxpayers Union. Again, that interview can be found at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. While you're there, also on the economic front, check out my interview with Nicola Moore of the Heritage Foundation. She will analyze the estimation issued late last week from the Congressional Budget Office that within 10 years, the national debt will be at 90% of gross national product, as well as the fact that Social Security, several years ahead of schedule, now losing money. All of that, dateline.radioamerica.org and worldnetdaily.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.